Taxi to Hell by Jackie Chikambure. Chapter 1. The first warning sign should have been when the taxi took an unusual turn on a typically familiar road. I didn't notice though, because I was seated in the front seat doing one of the things I hated most, counting change in a public taxi. Math taxi is the worst.
My change, please,
a shrill voice called from the back seat. My heart started racing. I stared at the unclean bills in my hand, trying to do the math, a subject I dismally failed when I was 16. If a taxi costs 13.50 and there are four people in the back, and they've paid 100 rand, their change will be... I drew a blank and started the math again. Two people pay 100 rand minus 13.50. As my mind stressed over the numbers, I was oblivious to the new route the driver was taking. In fact, if I had been focusing, I would have noticed the beads of sweat trickling down his wrinkled forehead and the permanent scowl he was wearing. Unlike most taxi drivers I'd been accustomed to, he was an elderly gentleman. There was a grandfather-like feel to him. He was slim and always wore a tattered old black Kangol hat. I knew him well because I took his taxi home every day after work. I was an HR assistant at a media company. I helped the HR manager with all the administrative tasks, which I hated, but what did I expect from a BA film and media degree? My father always told me I should have studied a degree that made more sense, not a BA. Maybe he was right. 46 Rand, their change is 46 Rand. I gathered 2 20-rand notes and turned to hunt for coins.
I'm sorry.
The old driver was mumbling under his breath. I didn't hear him. Could I have 6 rand in coins? The old driver repeated. Although he said it in a different language, I picked up the words sorry and death. What did you say? This time he answered in English.
Everyone in this taxi is going to die and there is nothing I can do about it.
Suddenly, my surroundings started to dawn on me. I was not on Main Street, safely en route home. We had not driven through Jan Smuts or any of the roads I knew well. Where were we going?
My change!
The voice at the back called out again. Yes, it's coming, I screamed, the panic rising in my voice. I gave my attention to the driver. What are you saying? Desperation oozed with each syllable. The driver raised the volume of the radio.
They are going to kill my family if I don't.
His voice trailed off and a lone tear rolled down his cheek. I sat back in my seat, suddenly exhausted. The first thing ringing in my head was that he was lying. Before I could share this thought, he handed me a cell phone and the screen lit up. On it was a video playing. It showed a small dark room with three people, two young children and a beautiful old lady all tied to metal chairs. They were blindfolded, but without seeing their eyes, you could tell they were terrified. The video was a live stream. This must be a joke. It had to be. This kind of stuff only happened in movies. I started to laugh. This was ridiculous. How do you even have data to view a video? It was a silly question, but my brain had stopped thinking. The old man glared at me. Something in my underbelly told me that this man was not joking. I was about to die. Chapter 2. Okay. So I knew the driver was not joking, and everyone in the taxi would not see their families today. I turned to look at the people behind me. What should I do? 14 strangers, all blindly trusting that this driver was taking them home. We all did this daily. On board a stranger's vehicle, trust their driving skills, and sit next to random people each and every trip. The second we sit, we disappear into our headphones, stare out the window and doze off against the glass, completely unaware of the happenings around us. For those 40 minutes, we are all in a sort of limbo between destinations. Waiting and believing, that we are all, without a doubt, going to make it to our next destination. But not today. Today, at this moment, these strangers had something in common. We were all about to be murdered. You can't do this. I'll tell everyone in the taxi and we will stop you.
If you tell people, they will panic and I will do it sooner.
How do you plan to kill us? I could not believe I was actually uttering those words.
My change!
The lady was persistent. I grabbed a handful of notes and angrily threw them back. Keep it. Keep the change. I spoke through gritted teeth in agitation. This little outburst caused a stir. I could feel their disapproving gazes, but I didn't care. Nor did the driver about his money. What was money in a moment like this? I leaned into the driver and with my wide eyes urged him to continue speaking.
There is a bridge coming up in a few kilometers. I'm going to drive the taxi over.
This old man was crazy. I had to get out of this. I could open the door and throw myself out, but at the fast speed we were moving, I would most likely die on impact. Mr. Driver, I started.
Mr. Dube. Moses.
Mr. Dube. I found it improper to call a man of his age by his first name. I don't understand how killing us will help.
This is a targeted hit. They want someone in the sticks dead.
My eyes lit up. If they only want one of these passengers dead, shouldn't we just find out who and just, well, not kill the rest?
You want me to decide who lives or dies?
I nodded.
I couldn't do it. These are not strangers to me. It may seem like random different faces, but I know you all. I've been driving this route for over 20 years. As much as things change, they stay the same. I know you too. After your successful first day at this new job, I was happy for you.
I could not hide my shock. He knew who I was. How?
You have been working there for a year now. After looking for work for so long, I had you on the phone with your mom. She must be proud.
I blushed. Do you know all the people in this taxi like that? He sighed wistfully.
Yes.
Then this must feel like killing more family. The air was heavy. I knew my next question was going to be heavy too. Mr. Dube, do you think you could use that knowledge to figure out who the target is on and just kill one?
If you find out who the target is, you would be all right to kill them?
He questioned. My head weighed heavily on my shoulders as I nodded. We would be saving so many more. Your family. I knew why I was saying these words. It was not about his family. It was about me. I wanted to live. I desperately wanted to wake up and see tomorrow. The old driver sighed.
Do you remember the car accident you had 5 years ago?
I quizzically raised one eyebrow. He continued speaking.
Your drunken driving killed two people, a father and a mother. One of the survivors, their son. He was never the same again after that incident.
Why are you telling me this? My voice trembling. I could not bring myself to look at this man, so I stared ahead of me. We were on a lone road now. In the distance, I could see a bridge.
He has been watching you and knows your routine. You are the target.
I swallowed. I watched the bridge draw closer. Without taking my eyes off the road, the old driver reached across me and unlocked my door. Without words, I knew the question he was asking me. He wanted me to open the door and sacrifice myself for everyone else. Everything around me became still. I closed my eyes and listened to the rapid pounding of my heart against my chest. I couldn't move. As I tried to lift my hand, the old driver's phone suddenly vibrated, breaking me out of my trance. We both scrambled to pick up and I gaped as we viewed the video stream of four policemen entering the little dark room and releasing the old driver's family. The little girls had their blindfolds removed and everyone was hugging each other. I started to cry. His family was safe. Without saying another word, the driver reached across me and locked the door again.
Driver, where are we going?
The persistent lady from the back asked.
We're taking a scenic route home, ma'am.
He responded as tears of joy washed down his face.
This taxi is taking you home.
The end.